Please open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. This evening we're looking at the first six verses of chapter 11, which can be found in the Pew Bible on page 559. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Once again, I ask you to give ear, for this is the holy, inspired, and infallible word of our God. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we do ask that you would illumine our hearts and minds by your Spirit to receive your word with faith, and bear forth the fruit of it, to do your works for your glory. We do pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're familiar with Star Trek, you have likely heard the phrase that one of the things that the crew of the USS Enterprise was called to do was to boldly go where no man has gone before. This is not the only part of their mission, but it was one of the things that they were called to do, to go boldly out into the great unknown, to seek out new life and civilizations, to explore. They had a mission that they were given from their commanders. In essence, their mission was to take dominion over whatever it is that they found, to find it, to find out about it, and to, in some way, bring it into connection with themselves. And they were to do this going in confidence, having all the latest technology at their fingertips, all of the innovation of man, to go and be able to interact with whatever might confront them in the great unknown of space. In a very interesting way, this mission is similar to the mission that has been given to us as those made in the image of God. We too are called to go and take dominion over the creation as we find it, but as opposed to being given our mission by other men and having our confidence in technology and the innovation of mankind, we are to go forth boldly in the confidence that it is the Lord our God who has sent us. He is the one who equips us for the work, and he is the one who causes it to succeed. And it is this idea of boldness that is very much to be found here in our passage this evening. How we are to look at many of the works that we are given to do is that we are to do them with great confidence and boldness in the Lord. In the context, as we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher has called for mature authority in the light of God's providence in the previous chapter. And now he talks of some of the fruit of maturity, and that is this confident boldness to do the will of God. So what I want to show you from the passage this evening is that God calls Christians to live fruitful lives by bold and prudent faith. God calls Christians to live fruitful lives by bold and prudent faith. Let's go back to the text first and observe that we are given a command. And it's a very simple command. We find it in verses 1, 2, and 6. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. And then in verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. The command is simple. God has given you resources. God has given you good things. Use them. Don't hoard them. Don't keep it to yourself. They are given for a purpose to use them. Our gifts, our talents, our wealth, our relationships, everything that the Lord has given us in our lives are not meant to just be left unused. Or rather, the Lord has given them for a purpose. We are called to take the things that the Lord has given us in our lives and make them productive for God's glory and for the good of our neighbor. This is the point of one of the kingdom parables that our Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 25, which is lengthy but is worth reading here. It's the parable of the talents. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forth, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here we have this illustration of really the final judgment day, when we are judged according to our works. And not that we are saved by our works, but the judgment is according to works. Those who are saved by grace, God crowns their works and he rewards them. Those who have worked iniquity have no works to show and are therefore cast into hell. We see the exhortation here, the command that the Lord is giving us. The Lord has given us many things in this life. We are to make use of them. We're not to sit on our hands, but we are to use them for his sake, for his glory. We see these exhortations are given in the light of looming death and judgment in the parable, but even here, as the preacher has been speaking throughout, of the vanity of life, the fact that life is here today, it's gone tomorrow. Who knows when it is that your time will end? And so because you don't know these things, be fruitful. Thus, we are to be liberal in using our resources. Now, this does not mean that we are to be wasteful and foolish with the things that we have been given. Certainly, we are to be careful with our resources, but neither are we to hoard what we've been given in fear that we might not have enough, but we are to use it in bold faith. We must be fruitful with the things that the Lord has given to us. Now, luxuries, some things that aren't really fruitful, are not wrong in this understanding, but luxuries should not be the focus of our spending of time and money. We must invest what it is that the Lord has given us in what will bear fruit in the lives of ourselves, in the lives of our families, in the lives of others. This is the mission that God has given from the beginning. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and take dominion, have dominion over the creatures. The mission given to Adam was to cultivate the creation for the glory of God. And so we are called to do even now. And this is what is meant then by bearing fruit. We are to be doing that which grows something into maturity or into productivity in accordance with God's order. So to contrast something that's rather fruitless or something that's fruitful, on the one hand, we could spend all of our time just sitting in front of the television, which is going to bear very little fruit other than knowledge of pop culture and the ability to maybe make some really nice memes. Or we could spend time and resources on something like education, to cultivate the mind, to learn greater discipline, to grow in our knowledge of God's creation, that we may serve Him better with the faculties that the Lord has given us. And so we are to bear fruit in all of these ways, and starting first and foremost with ourselves. We are called to take dominion, to cultivate ourselves, our own hearts, to fight against sin in our own hearts, to seek discipline in ourselves. And as we learn to master ourselves, we are then enabled more and more to gain mastery over the creation, to cultivate it for the sake of our Lord. But we're given another command here. Not simply to be bold with our resources, but also we're told that we should diversify. As we see in verse 2, give a portion to 7 or to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. If we're not going to be foolish with the resources that the Lord has given to us, diversification is not just a nice financial bit of advice, it's scriptural. We don't know what it is that's going to happen. So we shouldn't just focus on just one area, but we should be well-rounded in the things that we are contributing to, the things that we are pursuing. We shouldn't just be seeking to cultivate ourselves or the creation in one area, but we're seeking to see the entirety of the creation come into submission to God. And not that this means that you can equally give yourself to everything under the sun, but there are multiple gifts, multiple opportunities that the Lord has given us, and we should be taking advantage of them as we have ability. And we should not be trying to force fruitfulness where God may not give it. Sometimes we can focus in on something and just we're pursuing this and pursuing it and pursuing it and nothing's happening, nothing's coming from it. Well, perhaps at that time the Lord has not deemed it appropriate for that to bear fruit. And so there are other avenues that may be open to you that you can pursue for fruitfulness in the kingdom. So that's the command. We are to cast our bread, to sow our seed boldly but also diversifying, and the rationale for this is that we don't know God's providence. We are not to put our trust in our ability to know the future. God is the one who controls the future. We do not. And God, therefore, doesn't have to diversify. He's not sitting there wondering which of his plans is going to succeed. He can put all of his eggs in one basket, as we see with his chosen people throughout history. At one point where the seed of the woman is narrowed down to Abraham and to Isaac, and the promise is coming, and it's just to Isaac, and if he dies, the promise dies with him, and oh no, what would possibly happen? Well, the Lord doesn't have to worry. He is the sovereign one who makes sure that all of his purposes come to bear. But we are not the ones who can control these things. We cannot act as though we can know the future, as though we can cause everything that we set our hands to prosper. And to act as though we could is really to claim the prerogatives of God, is to act as though we have a godlike knowledge or a godlike ability. So an example of something like this that really is against God's will, but that seeks to benefit from our supposed knowledge of the future, is sports betting, where you have some sort of knowledge you think you have, and you're not making anything fruitful. You're just putting money in and hoping to gain money at the expense of somebody else. Nothing is produced. It's just simply trying to take something because you have guessed better than somebody else. You think you know the future better than somebody else, and they then are out of their money and you gain more, or vice versa. It also tries to use one's ability to predict the future to accomplish this. That's the whole focus. I can tell the future, and therefore I'm confident that I will gain and not lose in this endeavor. But fruitful investment, on the other hand, is always trying to produce something for the benefit of oneself or for others. Again, it is fruitful. It produces. It doesn't just bring in something that costs someone else, but it actually produces something that can benefit others. And so God himself is the one who, having control over all of history, chooses what he will bless and when. And trusting God then should, as we saw, lead us to diversify. Again, not trusting in ourselves that we know, we diversify, we don't know what God is going to do. And so we give our resources liberally in many areas. But on the other hand, we don't want to fall into the other ditch of then simply trusting in diversification either. One can look at this and say, okay, well, I've diversified my portfolio. I'm safe. Nothing bad can possibly happen to me because I've simply done the act of diversification. Well, God can bring even the one who has diversified in his resources to ruin as well. Just as in salvation we live not by our works, not even by following God's good commands and advice here. We live by grace through faith in Christ, and at every point that calls for us to trust him, not to trust simply in doing certain acts, but recognizing God himself as the one who brings these things about. But also what we have here is a warning before us. In verses 3 through 5, we are counseled not to wait for the perfect opportunity for these things. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes on the bones of in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. And so again, the simple point here is that if you're waiting to use what God has given you for just the perfect opportunity, generally that means you're never, ever actually going to do anything. And we can't give in to the temptation, whether it's grounded in greed or fear, to act only under the perfect circumstances. Fruitfulness ultimately is a matter of faithfulness to God. God calls us to take that which he has given us and be fruitful with it. Not at the perfect time, not at the perfect opportunity, but simply in obedience to him. And we seek fruit for his glory and not for our gain. So perhaps it isn't the perfect looking opportunity. We won't get as much return as we otherwise would have liked. All right, fine. It's not for our enrichment anyway. It's for the glory of the Lord, that we may be obedient to him. It is up to us to do the work that the Lord has set before us, and to do so in faith. And we are called then to leave the results to God. And this is illustrated for us as Paul speaks to us in three places, giving us commands regarding this that I'd like for us to hear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So we live not for our own sake, we work for his. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So there in the work of the ministry, but in anything, we do the work, but it is God who brings it to fruition, God who makes it to bear the fruit that he desires. So also Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, he will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we're called to good work, in season and out of season, whether it looks like this is the perfect time or not. We do it in obedience to God. We seek the fruit that multiplies to God's glory and for the good of others. So then, with all of this in mind, how do we apply this text to ourselves? Well, first, as we consider the need for boldness in using those things that the Lord has given us to do, we need to understand how to avoid the pitfall of foolhardiness, as boldness and foolhardiness can be very near cousins, and essentially we can fall into the trap of just thinking, well, anything that we do boldly is good, when oftentimes it's mere foolishness. So how do we do this? Well, I would counsel three things. First, listen to wise counsel. Surely there are people in your life whom you know, who are fruitfully using the gifts that the Lord has given them to bring forth good fruit in their lives and the lives of those around them. Find them and take their advice on the ideas that you have, the things that you might pursue as you're thinking about the ways that you want to serve the Lord. Listen to those who have wisdom, who are doing those very things. And they can often point you in the right direction. Secondly, be very suspect of your own desires. Simply because you want to do something doesn't mean it's a good idea. Often we can fall into the trap of just thinking, well, If I'm seeking to serve the Lord, I like this, so this seems like a good idea. And sometimes it is. It's certainly not wrong to pursue something that you love, that you desire to do. But we always need to be careful of the difference between serving ourselves and serving the Lord and seeking that which is good for His sake. And thirdly, most importantly, let the Word guide you. God's commands and principles for wisdom that are in the Scriptures should be the foundation for your plans. As you're seeking to do things, you should have a pretty good idea that this is in keeping with the way the Lord has ordained the world to work, the way that He commands His people to walk in this life. So if you're listening to those of wise counsel, if you are not simply following your heart, but always examining yourself and seeking to follow after the Word, then you are on much stronger footing in avoiding foolhardiness when seeking to use your resources. But also, how do we fight against inaction that stems from our unbelief? Because we can all easily fall into that trap of waiting for just the right moment and calling it prudence, when in actuality it's simply just that we don't want to take action. Well, we must kill the fear of man in our hearts and the fear of failure. You can't be afraid of what people are going to say. That can apply to any number of things. It doesn't just apply here. But we can often be so gripped by the fear of what other people think, by the fear of what other people say, that it's going to keep us from doing all manner of things. That's not the issue. Has God given you the opportunity? Is this something that is good according to His Word? You have good reason to pursue it. And you may fall flat on your face. It may look foolish to those who are around you. But that's of no consequence. Following the Lord looks foolish to a world that is trapped in sin. And so we cannot be afraid in these ways. We also need to be in the business of getting rid of all of our excuses that we might otherwise make. Being lazy or thoughtless is not a good reason for an action. Oh, I don't feel like it. Or, I don't really know how to start with that, so I guess I won't. Those aren't reasons to sit on our hands and not use the gifts that the Lord has given us. That's a sinful attitude of which we need to repent and get to work. Start seeking that which the Lord has called us to. Don't stop at the first hurdle that comes along your path either, but persevere with effort, with faith, looking to the Lord to bless your efforts. And also we need to ground ourselves in the confidence of Christ and of His Word. If you have the blessing of God by His Word for what you plan to do, there is no reason to fear, none whatsoever. The Word is sufficient, as we saw this morning, and God is faithful. He will use your work for His purposes. That is one of His promises, one of the things that the Lord says to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 6. God is not so unjust as to overlook your good works for the saints. God takes your works, He blesses them, He crowns them, He uses them for good and for His purposes. The only way that you can fail, ultimately, is if you do nothing. If you don't act, then you will produce no fruit. But if you act in faith, the Lord will use it. So what are some examples, then, of actions that we can take in keeping with what this passage has to say? Well, we can think of it in the manner of providing for your household. Certainly, we are all called to work for our provision. The one who does not work shall not eat, as the Lord tells us. So we must be about working. But one of the ways that you can take this is to seek the means to provide in a way that is fruitful, more than just a way that gains money. There are some jobs that really don't produce much for the good of neighbor. They may get a paycheck, and there's nothing sinful about holding such a job. But one of the things that you could seek is employment where you're actually able to produce something that is benefiting and building up your neighbor and not producing something that does not have that same fruitfulness. Also, in the interest of diversifying, you can seek multiple streams of income instead of just relying on one. This can be harder in some respects for some than for others, but there are many ways of bringing in other means of income, ways that can be a blessing for yourself and for others, so that if hard times come, if perhaps there are mandates that might threaten your job, you have other means that won't immediately throw you into being without anything to support yourself at least a little bit. That's one way you can diversify. Other examples is that we can invest in productive entities. So land is a good one. Buying land and causing it to be fruitful is a God-glorifying and good thing. It can be productive for your family, it can bear fruit now and for generations, and it can be productive even for those in your community. It's one of the baseline, basic ways the Lord has given for his people throughout the ages to be productive and to bless others, having fruitful land, and that's certainly something that we can invest in. We can also invest in local businesses, supporting those whom we know as our neighbors who are producing good things, and as they are producing those good things, we're supporting them in that they may produce still more for the good of our community. That's a good thing for us to seek to do. It can help prosper our neighbors, prosper our area, and promote further relationships and community for good. It can invest in education. So we're responsible for our own education, for our children's education. And much education we know that's out there today is anti-Christian, is seeking to tear down that which God commands. And so we can and should invest in the education of our own children and even in those who are doing education well for it to bear fruit in the lives of others. And in other various ministries we can invest in, there are many who are doing God's work, whether we have various ministries that we as a church give to, as we're seeking to see them be fruitful and continue to be fruitful in that, we can directly give to ministries that are being fruitful for the kingdom of God in a variety of areas. Also in relationships, we can seek to take action in our relationships. Evangelism is an area that we can be very bold in. We don't know how God is going to act with the words that we speak to another person. We do know that God works by his word, he works by his truth, to bring about new life, to convince, to reprove, even to convert those who are around us, or simply to build up those who are already believers. A word in season that is spoken, we sometimes don't even know. We can say something that's going to positively affect someone because we simply shared with them the truth of God's word. And so we should be more and more willing to boldly speak that which is the truth for the good of those who are around us. We know God calls us to glorify him with our tongue, to speak for the edification and building up of others. We should boldly seek to do so. We should, in faith, be free to declare the glories of Christ and not worry about the possible negative responses that we might receive. But always, even in this, seek the fruit that may come from it. And so it is in all of this that we have seen that God calls Christians to live fruitful lives by bold and prudent faith. So what are some steps then that you can take to taking action? Well, first, most importantly, pray. If this is something you would do for the Lord, you would do in faith to bear fruit for His sake, then it's certainly worthy of prayer. And it's only going to succeed if God causes it to succeed. So prayer is essential. Second, cultivate a vision. It's very hard to accomplish something if you don't know what it is you're trying to accomplish. If you don't know where you're going, you're very unlikely to get there. So figure out what it is, what the end goal looks like that you would believe the Lord has given you opportunity, has given you means to be able to serve Him. Set your heart and mind on that. And then, thirdly, in keeping with that, plan. You're not going to reach that end goal likely unless you're going to be planning it out, taking the steps that are necessary for you to be able to reach it. So find out what that end goal is, think about those steps, and break it down into things that are manageable and start taking the steps to reach that end goal. And then finally, take action. Don't just keep it in your head. Don't just sit on it. As we read this morning from James, and I'll read again from James 1:25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You've been freed by God to act. He's given you gifts. He's assured you that He is the one who causes all fruitfulness to abound, and that He will bring forth fruit for your good and for the good of others that will abound even into eternity. Therefore, you have every reason to take action for God's glory. And if you do so, He will bless you according to His promise. Let us pray. Our Father, we do ask that You would give us the grace to be more and more fruitful. Oh Lord, help us to abide in You and bear forth much fruit, that we may seek the good of our neighbor, that we may seek Your glory in all things, and that we may see this world brought more and more under Your dominion and cultivated to show forth Your goodness and glory in that which You have made. We pray all of these things in Christ's name.